Men are impressed with a number of things relative to their fellow man. They may be impressed with a man's wealth, the kind of car he drives, the kind of house he lives in. Men may be impressed by a man's power. Maybe he's achieved very high position in a company. Men may be impressed by a person's physical skills, whether that be in sports, in oratory, or in other academic fields. None of these things are those things that God measures us by. What God is looking for is who we are mentally and morally. And we have a term for that, our character. And so building our character is critical to being the kind of people that God wants us to be. And hopefully in these studies about basic traits of good character, it will help us to examine ourselves, to make adjustments, and hopefully to work on improving and perfecting our character. Tonight we're going to study the basic character trait of patience. Now you'll see on your lesson that there are two kinds of patience. And the fact is, in your New Testament, there are two different words used for these two kinds of patience. One of these words is never used of God, for example, whereas the other is. You'll see on your lesson we have one of the kinds of patience is with trying people. Patience with trying people. Then you'll notice further down on your lesson we've got another kind of patience. Patience under trying circumstances. That second category is never used of God. But patience with people who disappoint, who inflict hurt, who fail to be what they ought to be, that is used of God. Look in your Bible at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11, and you'll see both of these words in this particular verse. And it's something that we should be endeavoring to grow into. We'll start back up in verse 10. Well, we'll start in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, that is, of their obedience to the gospel, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we're gathered here tonight to review, to remind, maybe to increase the knowledge of His will. What's the goal? Here it is in verse 10. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. This is the New American Standard 77 edition. But those two words, steadfastness and patience, are two words. The New King James uses patience and long suffering. We'll talk about that word long suffering in just a little bit. It's a good word, although we do not use it a whole lot. The English Standard Version uses the two words endurance and patience. But you can see that this growth to please our Lord is that we might attain these two character traits that he calls here steadfastness and patience. So we're going to start with the idea of patience from the standpoint of trying persons. And it's the second word in this couplet here in Colossians 1:11. So let's look at some verses that give us a clue as to what kind of patience this is. We'll start in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. There you have the word patience. The New King James has the word long suffering. All right, now he said, do you think kindly of his kindness and forbearance and patience or long suffering? Now, we ask the question, what is this patience or long suffering associated with in the text? What words are associated with it? That's right. Kindness and tolerance, or kindness and forbearance. When you think of this word having to do with people that are trying, you can see the natural association of a challenge to be kind when people try your patience, and the challenge to be forbearing when people try your patience. The context, you'll see back up in verse 3, actually if you were to start in verse 1, this is to the Jews, who rejoiced in the condemnation of the Gentile world, but they themselves were hypocritically not obeying God, and God had blessed them richly. You'll note in verse 5, they were stubborn and unrepentant. And that is the kind of people that this text in verse 4 is applied to. God had blessed the nation richly for 1,500 years, made them his special nation, protected them from other nations, extended the length of their existence. But instead of turning and serving him, they didn't. And therefore, he had to have an attitude toward them of patience, or else by this time they would have been gone. But God had a plan for them, and that was to bring about through them the Messiah that would take away sin. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In verse 4, we have the word patient. The New King James, instead of patient, has suffers long. Now, what is it that motivates you to suffer when people are mistreating you and not immediately want to retaliate or bring judgment against them? Love. Love is patient. So this is not a feeling in your heart. In fact, your feelings may be rather disturbed because of the way someone's treating you. Your feelings may say, I'd like to repay you. I'd like to shut you up. But love is patient. The context is in chapter 12 through 14. You go to the Corinthian worship, to the assembly, and there would be a person there who had the gift of tongues. They were proud of it, and they might want to exercise that gift in the assembly, and you don't know what they're saying, and it's aggravating. Why don't they sit down and be quiet? Oh, we've got this wonderful gift. And if that happens with them continually or with others, that can be very grating. Love is patient. That's the application in the text, but it's certainly wide-ranging in application. And so, love is long-suffering. Now, this term long-suffering, We've got a few young people here in our audience tonight. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I want to ask you a question. Down in section one of our teacher's notes, down at the bottom of the page, select incidents in your children's life that will illustrate the needs of both kinds of patience. All right, let's talk about this kind. Is there ever a time, young people, that your sibling, your brother, your sister has done something that hurts you, embarrasses you? You wish they wouldn't do it. And parents know what those circumstances are. They could use what we're talking about as teaching moments. The word suffer implies the idea you are suffering by what people are doing. Maybe the way they're saying something. Maybe it's something they're doing to something that belongs to you. Maybe it's the way that they're representing you or misrepresenting you. That's when this trait comes into play. The tendency might be to want to rise up in anger and righteous indignation immediately. We'll talk more about the fact there is a time when patience has an end. But what he's saying is love encourages you to restrain that desire. Love is patient. Love is long-suffering. Now, look at chapter 12, verse 31. That's the introduction of chapter 13. Yes, sir.
So we're saying love should rule. This should be the first thing.
Yeah, it certainly should rule. That's right. So look at 12:31. He said, I show you a more excellent way. More excellent in the context is more excellent than spiritual gifts, the ability to work miracles, to speak in tongues, etc. And yet it's more excellent than all of that. Well, let's think about how it would apply to us. We don't have miracles. But what is it that young people, as they're growing up in school, what are things that they esteem highly? What are some things young people esteem highly?
Sports.
What?
Sports.
To be able to excel in sports. To be the best on the football team or basketball team or whatever it may be. To achieve a dominant spot. Maybe the quarterback on a team. What about in academics?
First in class.
Be the first in the class. Make the best grade. Maybe to be salutatorian or valedictorian. Man, that is just excellent. Sometimes young people in school are enamored with their looks. Are you the best looking in class? But note, he said, I want to show you something more excellent. More excellent than good grades. More excellent than sports. More excellent than physical abilities. More excellent than how you look. Here's something more excellent. Do we practice patience? Do we have the attitude he calls love that puts a restraint on the feeling to retaliate and has patience or long suffering? All right, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6. So as parents work with their children about their grades or excelling in other fields, this is a good text to use to show your children why these are the things that you value, because these are the things that God values. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6, we read, Paul's talking about his ministry, and he does not want it to be discredited, verse 3. He lived and would die for his ministry. It was the pinnacle of his thinking, the focus of his life. And so he said, verse 4, in everything commending ourselves, as servants of God. And then he starts to list some of the things that he went through to perform this ministry in a way that there could be no blame. Now you get down to verse 6. In purity, in knowledge, in patience. That's our word. That's our word for enduring trying people. The New King James Version uses the word long-suffering. By the way, when you're doing your Bible study, if you're wondering which word it is of the two words for patient, that's one good way to do it, is to compare versions. Oftentimes the King James or New King James or American Standard Version will use the word long-suffering. You know when it does, it's the word patient that has to do with people, enduring, trying people. Now, look at this text. He said, in patience. Now, your Bible has a comma, and that's okay. But you know that punctuation was put there by the translators. What if instead of a comma, we put an M dash. An M dash is a long dash. And we use that sometime when the words following that word serve to further elucidate or elaborate or explain. Think of the three words that follow, or three phrases, as elaborating on the patience that he described. So he said, in patience. In kindness, we just looked at the idea of kindness in Romans chapter 2. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient. What's the next quality? Kind. So patience and kindness go hand in hand. It's not hard to be kind when people treat you well. It's hard to be kind when somebody hurts you or you suffer because of the way they treat you. So in patience, in kindness. Now, the way our Bibles translate the next phrase, it points to the divine being called the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just going to suggest to you that this is not the Holy Spirit. Sometimes this phrase refers to a Holy Spirit. And there's no article, in fact, in the original of this particular phrase, although I wouldn't base my conclusions on that. There is no article. There's no word for the. In a Holy Spirit. And when you're suffering, when people are mistreating you, that may be the time your spirit could easily be tainted by anger and vengeance and retaliation. That your motives may not be for truth, the ministry, but for me and lifting myself up personally. But he said, in kindness, in a Holy Spirit. Note the next phrase, in genuine love. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient, is kind. And so if you take these three phrases in connection with the word patience, they shed more light on what's involved in this concept that we're studying. But this will really help, this next study, that exercise that we have here on your lesson. So Paul mentioned that he was working with in his ministry to keep it above reproach. He wanted to glorify God in the way he handled himself in every phase of his work as an apostle. And he mentions patience. So we ask the question, what are some of the ways his patience was tried by these very people, the Corinthians, to whom he was writing? Now, I gave you a number of verses. Maybe you didn't look at all of the verses, but I'm going to select a few. I'm not going to look at all of them, but we're going to note some of them. Because it really serves to highlight what this patience is all about. Let's take the first one in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. When Paul preached, when Philip preached, when Peter preached, what was their emphasis? Was it on Paul and Peter and Philip? What was their concern? It's on Christ and the message they were preaching. They never preached themselves. They never tried to exalt themselves. Imagine Paul now having abandoned everything for this ministry of preaching the gospel. He's been in Corinth, had worked there for a year and a half. He's writing this letter to them. He said, "I've been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now this I mean, each one of you saying, 'I'm of Paul, I'm Apollos, and I've Cephas, and I've Christ.'" He said, there's people there that are exalting themselves and forming parties. It's not about the gospel, it's about me. And getting people to honor me and to follow me. How do you think that made Paul feel when he invested a year and a half of his life there? Been brought before the court there. And yet there are the fellows, people there who, instead of exalting the message that he not only delivered but confirmed by miracles, it's about the preacher. About these guys who are forming these factions within the church at Corinth. He needed patience. In chapter 3, in verse 18, let me ask you something. How does it make you feel to be around somebody who continually boasts about themselves, talks about their ability or knowledge or accomplishments? How does that make you feel? You had these men in Corinth who were trying to get people to follow them. Look what he says they do in verse 18. Verse 18 of chapter 3, he said, "If any man among you thinks that he's wise in this age, let him become foolish, that he may be wise." So there were those who thought they were wise. And verse 21, people would boast in these men. So they proclaimed their wisdom. They'd boast. Now when people are boasting around you, we've got young brothers and sisters here. How does it make you feel if your brother or sister comes home from school and said, "Hey, dummy, look, I got an A+. Hey, I made the team. You didn't make it. Ha ha. How does that make you feel? What's the tendency to do? And so here's where patience is tested. When people extol themselves, and Paul had to put up with that. And he told the Corinthians to in chapter 13. Look in chapter 4, I've got 3, 5, and 7. I'm just going to read verse 3. "To me it's a very small thing that I should be examined or judged by you or by any human court." How do you feel when people judge you, sit in judgment on you when they have no right to? And they sit in judgment on Paul's ministry and they had no right to. And it was unfair judgment. How did that make you feel? Does that hurt? Does that make you want to retaliate? Maybe if I was Paul, I'd say, "I'm through with you folks. I've had it." That's what we might want to do. But what does he do? He writes a letter. And he writes another letter. Why? Love. Love is patient. Even when people judge you unfairly. Look in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It's actually reported there's immorality among you, an immorality such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles. Someone has his father's wife. That's bad enough, but look at the first part of the next verse. "You've become arrogant." Does that bother you when people are arrogant? "I live like I want. Nobody's going to stop me. Church is not going to do anything about it." And maybe if you're a young person, you got people at school saying, "My parents are not going to do anything about it." And they're arrogant in their sin. Now what do you want to do? Not put up with it. Paul didn't. But you know what he tried to do? Is help them. Help them correct the situation. Why? Love is patient. That's why. Look at chapter 6 and verse 15. Do you not know? Verse 15, 16, and 19 have that phrase. Do you not know? When Paul writes that way, what's it implying that he expects of these people?
That they should know.
He spent a year and a half there. Do you think he never talked about immorality in the wicked city of Corinth? You know he had to deal with it. And so maybe, and this is where oftentimes parents' patience is tested. Son, daughter, don't you know? I've been telling you. You know, do you not know? Some parents don't have patience and they fly off and get abusive. Love is patient with people who ought to know, but sometimes have not got it. And that's the situation here in Corinth. In chapter 8, verse 1, we have this idea of arrogance again, this time in their knowledge. Chapter 8, 1, he said, we know we have all knowledge. That's what they would say. He said, knowledge makes arrogant. Boy, we know things other people don't, and I think probably referring to the Gnostic philosophy. You know what Paul says, love edifies. Instead of bragging about this so-called knowledge you have, he goes on to correct them about it, in fact. Time we brag about our knowledge, and we're not near as smart as we think we are. But love seeks to build people up, not boast about self and arrogance. Remember Paul said in the text we're taking this from, 2 Corinthians 6:6, in my ministry, I practice patience and a kindness and a Holy Spirit. Those attitudes that he had. Then we have chapter 14, verse 20. Yes. Go ahead, Linda.
I just want to make a comment on that passage. You know, Paul rightfully should be upset because he's taught them this, but they were arrogant, that they didn't care about their brethren. You know, and then they would look down on them. I know this, but I can't, you know, it's too bad. They don't know that, so I'm going to do what I have.
That was their attitude. You're right.
Often can look down on people and say, well, they should have known that, you know, and just be impatient with them and go on and do what we want to do.
Good observation. And they thought they should have known better about the meats offered to idols. And maybe they should have. But still, there was no room for the arrogance. And so Paul had to be patient with them. He tried to teach them. Well, for sake of time, I'm just going to mention some of these others real quick. Chapter 14, 20 said they're acting like a bunch of babies. You ever feel young people like your siblings acting like a baby? Patience. Sometimes adults act like a bunch of babies. They did in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians 1:17, they accused him of being two-faced. How does it hurt when people accuse you of things that aren't true? Impugn your motives. Maybe you don't want to hurt them, but you want to say, I'll wash my hands of you. I am through with you. But Paul did. He wrote a second letter, trying to get them to see the truth about his motives in ministry. In chapter 9, verse 3 and 4, he talks about their pledge to have a part in this contribution, but they weren't fulfilling it. Do you get disgusted and aggravated with people who say, I'm going to do something, and they don't do it, and they don't do it, and they don't do it? All of these verses shed light on what we read in 2 Corinthians 6:6 in my ministry. He said, I strive to do those things that will keep my ministry above reproach and to have patience and a Holy Spirit and to practice genuine love. You know, we can talk about love when it's not genuine. Chapter 10:10, they disparaged either his looks or his speech or both. But you can go through the verses. But you can see these are specifics. This is not said in 2 Corinthians 6:6 in a vacuum. It's dealing with the reality of the things this man had to face. And it really sheds light on that character trait. I've got down here at the end of that, apply to other relationships, parent, child, husband, wife. You know, maybe your wife hurt you, your husband hurt you. You know what some people do? They get to fighting. Some may even say, we're going to call it quits. But I'm going to go to church and be a Christian, really. Patience. You want a good marriage? You got to have patience. Your mate's not going to always do the right thing, say the right thing. On the job, having a peaceful atmosphere, employer, employee, it works on both sides. You want a good working relationship? Patience will be an important factor. Teachers with students. Maybe you teach back here in the class and you give your kids their classes and they don't even bring the class material back. You say, I've had it. Well, you can take that course or you can have patience. And so here are the basic character trait that we find throughout Scripture. In James chapter 5 and verse 10, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience. Note the link between the two words again. Suffering and patience. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. I've got some verses here. Again, our time will not allow us to go through them here in the class. I hope you've read them. In Exodus chapter 14, I will read that one. Look at Exodus chapter 14. Moses was a remarkable man. You know, the Bible says he was the meekest man in the earth. And that meekness is that strength of character that keeps you from wanting to retaliate. In chapter 14, verse 11, remember, Moses was how old when God selected him to lead the people out? 80. What happened when he was 40? Yeah, these very people rejected him. Now he's 80, he said, I don't want the job. God says, you got the job. And over and over and over again, they gave him trouble. Look at chapter 14, verse 11. They said to Moses, now here Moses goes back to the Pharaoh, stand before him and leads the people out. But look at their gratitude. They said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way? What's the matter with you? Don't you care about us? How'd that make you feel? I might say, you know, I still got my shepherd staff. I'm going back to being a shepherd. Bye. Remarkable man who completed his ministry because of his patience. And so when you're maligned and falsely blamed, people are inconsiderate of what you've tried to do. That's when your patience is tested. Jeremiah talks about the need for patience in Jeremiah 12 and Jeremiah 15. We don't have time to read it. I hope you'll read it. Jeremiah was mistreated. He was maligned. Suffered so much. Started out as a young prophet. And went through the captivity and then was taken to Egypt against his will. What a marvelous example of patience. Now look at 2 Corinthians 1:12. Now here people are mistreating you. They're saying things about you that aren't true. Now, what's the difference in character? We're talking about character and caricature. What's the difference? What?
One's real, one's not.
Okay, one's real, one's not. What's the difference in caricature?
Caricature is something that's exaggerated.
It's exaggerated. Leaves things out and exaggerates certain things. You go over to an amusement place and there's a guy there drawing. He said, here, I'll draw a picture of you. And boy, he draws a big nose or big ears or something. He exaggerates something. That's what will happen to our character if we don't have balance. A person said, I'm so patient. And so they never either see an end of the patient, we'll talk about in just a moment, or they feel like they can never come to their own defense. That's not patience. That's not the character of patience. That's a caricature. Here, this very writer, Paul, who we've been reading about, look at what he does in chapter 1:12. Our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we've conducted ourselves in the world and especially toward you. He discusses that through the rest of chapter 1. In fact, in the first 7 chapters, that's what it's about. It's a defense of his motivations and his actions. That's what 2 Corinthians 1 through 7 is about. It's the same fellow who wrote about patience. Yes, there's times that it's right to come to your defense. And no, that's not true. You've misrepresented me. That's not fair. And yes, that is the proper blend that has to be part of our character. Look at Romans chapter 2 where we looked a while ago. Again, character versus caricature. You see people that are patient to the point that they will never render judgment. Sometimes parents make this mistake. I want to be a patient parent. I don't want to discipline my child. I don't want to hurt them. No, look, there's a time to hurt them. There's a time for patience to come to an end. Look at Romans chapter 2:4. He talks about God's patience. But not, look at verse 5. Because of your stubborn and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself. The same God who exemplifies patience to the infinite degree. So I'm going to punish you. There's an end. The way the Old Testament puts it, at times he says, your cup of iniquity is full. The way Amos the prophet put it, he said, for 3 transgressions and for 4. In other words, this is it. I've given you enough time and warning. This is it. And so, the correct character trait of patience has an end point. I've got 2 Peter 3. We'll not read that right now. 2 Peter 3 talks about God's patience, giving men time to repent. But in that same context, talks about Christ is coming back to judge the ungodly. They go hand in hand. They're not opposites in the proper balance. We've got here question number 2 in the parent section. Look how practical this is. Your child says, well, if patience is a character trait we should have, why are you punishing me? Why can't I go search in such a place? Why can't I watch that TV program? Or why are you using some other kind of discipline? You're supposed to be patient, Dad, Mom. That's when it's helpful as a parent to understand the things that here Scripture is laying out about patience, about the true nature of patience. But it is a test for you and I as parents. Are we patient? Or are we quick to want to render judgment? That is a test of our character. You know, our children have done something really aggravating. There's room for patience. But there's a time when patience comes to an end. And it's time for judgment. Look at Galatians chapter 2. I think you've probably already ascertained that we put more scriptures on the lesson than we can cover in a class period. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, here's the same fellow that's writing about the need for patience. And he says in verse 11, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. Can you imagine that? Here's Peter in front of all these people, and Paul, he didn't take him aside. Right there in front of everybody. I thought Paul talked about patience. Sometimes there's a need for swift and firm rebuke. And young people, if your parents do that at times, I mean, they make it very clear. That doesn't mean they're not patient people. Patience is a character trait. It's the mental and moral qualities we're looking at that make us up, not a specific action. And so there's time for firm rebuke. All right, I've only got a few minutes left to cover this other kind of patience, so at least I want to look at it. There's patience under trying circumstances. Now, this is the word that's never used of God. There are no circumstances that God wilts under and wants to give up and gets discouraged. God doesn't do that. But we do. The contrast, this patience, instead of anger and retaliation and vengeance, the contrast to this kind of patience, as I have here on the sheet, is despair and discouragement and giving up. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. What is patience associated with in that verse? Hope. With hope. Hope is what you see in the distance. And you know it's real. And so you endure difficulties, circumstances, because it's there. It's out there. That's this word associated with hope. The New American Standard uses the word steadfastness. The New King James uses the word patience. And we already saw in 1 Corinthians 13:4 the word patient, but there's another verse. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:7 this time. It's the second word, patience. He said, love bears all things. You know, when you love people, you work in a congregation, you're going to have to bear some things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Look at that last phrase. That's our other word for patience. Endures all things. That's this word. Perseverance, endurance. The circumstances don't make you quit. People sometimes leave a church because there's problems. People don't act right. Now, love endures all things. That's this kind of patience. And if we have that first kind like this, our character is not complete. Look in 2 Corinthians 6 again. Remember we looked over there when we talked about this first word, patience, and we looked at associated words. In this same text, he talks about another, this other kind of patience. And in verse 4, in the New American Standard, is translated endurance. In much endurance. Now look at the associated words this time. Afflictions and hardships and distresses. That's the setting of this word. Put your M dash there. This helps to illustrate and elucidate this kind of patience. In James chapter 5 and verse 11. Look at James 5:11. Behold those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job. King James, American Standard, uses the word patience. The New King James uses the word steadfastness. It's our word. The English Standard uses the word steadfastness. And so, the endurance, the patience of Job. So I put down here, what are some of the circumstances he had to endure? All I can do, because we're about out of time, is just quickly note some of these. I gave you a bunch of verses. If you haven't read them, go back and read them. You know what Job had to do? How would you stand up if you lost everything you owned? If you found out all your stocks went to zero? If you found out your bank, your money in the bank was no good, the federal insurance was no good anymore, you don't have any money. What if you've lost all your means of income? You lost your job and you have no money. But wait, what if you found out your wife or your husband was dead, or maybe your children died? Not one, not two, all of them. That was Job. What if then you contracted cancer and you began to hurt? Your skin began to get all kind of sores. And addition to losing your income and losing your possessions and losing your kids, now you lose your health. You lose your appetite. You become disfigured. Your own mate says, curse God and die. There's no support there. Your friends come and say, it's because you're a sinner. These are the kind of things that are in these verses that Job had to put up with. But he said, he's an example of patience. Yes, he reached some low points in his life because he didn't understand some things. But he never gave up his faith in God. He never committed suicide, never even talked about committing suicide. You want an example of patience. What a classic example of this kind of patience in Job. So, you know, we talk about difficulties and trials that we go through. Boy, it's been hard, this. Wow, we hadn't even begun to touch the corner of what Job went through. What does it say about our character when we give up and get discouraged under difficult times? Okay. Our time is up. Any comments before I close the class?